Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are coming to the last part of the Lord's Prayer. We have been going through the entire prayer Jesus taught in a meditative way. The Lord's Prayer, starting with the invocation, Our Father in heaven. We have now come to the seventh and the last petition. The last petition, we usually say like this: deliver us from evil. We know that there are two formulations of the same prayer, one given in the Gospel of Matthew and the other in the Gospel of Luke. We have already seen that the Matthean version is longer than that of the Lucan version. Luke has a tendency to avoid repetitions. Repetitions as a whole is a characteristic trait of Semitic languages. The Semites repeat the same idea. In order to emphasize the same idea, they repeat the same in various words. So the repetition is a characteristic trait of that particular language. Matthew, writing mostly to the Judeo-Christians of the Semitic origin, and himself a Semite, used the typical Semitic way of repetitive language. Luke, on the other hand, a Gentile, a cultured, literate Greek, writing mostly to the Gentile people, avoided this repetitive style. He took what is essential and then avoided what was repetition. We saw that he was already made this shortening in the first part. Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second part of that petition is not found in the Gospel of Luke. When the kingdom comes, that means the will of God becomes a reality on earth. So Luke, as well as his audience, thinks it is enough to pray for the coming of the kingdom. When the kingdom comes, the will of God is already will be done. In the same way, Luke does not repeat this invocation, deliver us from evil. He has already, the first part, lead us not into temptation. So leading into temptation and deliverance from evil is somehow presented as the two sides of the same coin. So only Matthew gives us this petition, deliver us from evil. Now the second problem with this invocation is the question, is it deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one? In some versions we have deliver us from the evil one. In some other translations we have deliver us from evil. So the two versions have two different meanings and implications. When you say deliver us from evil, evil is considered as an impersonal force. A force that somehow surrounds the world, threatens the human existence. An impersonal force. But when you say deliver us from the evil one, then the attention is to a personal force. A person that is a will of his own. A person that thinks and acts, decides and acts. A unified center of action. An independent unity. Who can think, who can decide what to do and what not to do. It's not an impersonal force, but as a force, as a person. So the question is, did Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from evil? We have to go back to the original. And in the original Greek, it is said, apotu poneru. Poneros is the masculine. It can mean evil, a person who is evil, Poneros. The neuter of it is Poneron, mean the evil. The first is the evil one, the other evil. But in this present particular construction, in the genitive case, tu poneru, it can mean either masculine or neuter. It can be translated as lead us, deliver us from evil as well as from the evil one. Since there is a definite article tu, it means deliver us from the evil or the evil one. So from original analysis of the language alone, we cannot make a decision whether it is personal or impersonal evil. So we go back to the Bible as a whole. What does the Bible say about this evil? Who is this who tempts, or what is it that is presented as evil? When we consider the entire Old and New Testament, this evil is presented not just as an impersonal force, but as a person that is opposed to God as well as to human beings. In the Old Testament, we see the name Satan or Satan. Satan as a force, as an individual, as a person who is opposed to God or who is against human beings. But actually, in the beginning, Satan is presented not as an opponent of God, but as a servant of God. The first time we see Satan in the Bible, historically speaking, comes in the book of Job. In Job, we see a particular picture of Satan. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 6, we read, "One day the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord." It is the RSV translation. Other versions have the sons of God. The sons of God is being interpreted in the new RSV as heavenly beings. And well done. "And Satan also came among them." Satan, Satana, is a Hebrew word. It's taken up as such into Greek and Latin. In Hebrew, the word means accuser, the one who brings accusations against. It is in this capacity that this particular individual is presented here. When all the sons of God or all the angels gather before God in an assembly of consultation, there comes also this particular individual called Satan. And then the conversation goes on between God and Satan. "The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a fence around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face.'" So this is Satan, accusing, bringing in false insinuations, accusations against the person. "The Lord said to Satan, 'Very well, all that he has is in your power. Only do not stretch out your hand against him.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." So here in this narrative, which is of course a storytelling, the book of Job, we know, is a drama. The literary form is that of a drama. A drama that somehow explains the mystery or tries to point out the mystery of the suffering of the just. The basic question asked in the book of Job is, why do the just suffer while the unjust and the wicked seem to prosper on earth? So the mystery of the suffering of the just, that is the theme of the book of Job. In these two elucidate this mystery, the character Satan is brought to the scene. A character who accuses human beings before God and who is an instrument in the hands of God to test the faith and fidelity of the individuals. God allows Satan to go and inflict pains, loss, sufferings on this faithful servant Job. Satan works on Job. Great disasters befall the family. All the children die in particular incident. A tornado hits the house where all the children were gathered for a festival, and the house crumbles, collapses on the children, killing them all. All the property was destroyed the same day. And when everything was lost, Job did not waver from his fidelity. He blessed God for whatever he had and whatever he now suffered. Chapter 2. One day, the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." So Satan is the one who inflicts pain, unmerited suffering on the individuals and causes somehow God to punish the just. And we are told that this is the character of Satan. But he is not presented as intrinsically evil. He is presented as an agent in the hands of God in order to test the fidelity of the human beings. From this test, gradually he takes up the form of a tempter. Here Job was tested, but later on we will see in the book of Chronicles, first book of Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 we read, "Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel." We know from tradition that it was forbidden for the people of Israel to take a census, to count and find out how many they were. So it was considered as an act of infidelity, lack of trust in God. So David was incited or tempted by Satan to act against God. Here Satan is taking up a different attitude or different role as a tempter. And here he is presented as something intrinsically evil, no more as an agent of God. Someone who is standing against God and forcing people to act against God. So who is this Satan, the accuser? How did he come into being? Is he a creation, a creature? Is he a creation of God, a creature made by God? Or is he an equivalent to God? We know in the biblical faith or strict monotheism, there is no room for two gods. God is only one. Whatever is beside God is his creation. Then the question comes, how is it that God created something intrinsically evil as Satan is? There is no specific answer given to this question in the Bible. We are not told exactly how evil originated in the world. We are told in the story of the paradise and the temptation through the serpent. We are told how evil entered into the human history by individual human beings, the first parents being incited by an external force to act against God's commandment. But this external force was already there, serpent, who is presented as a rival, an enemy of God. But how did this creature come into existence? In many religions, we have a dichotomy. Two gods, for example, the God of evil and God of good. But Bible does not approve of such a dichotomy. There is only one God, the creator of heaven and earth. the only one God. But then where does this evil come from? We are left in the dark, so to say, about the origin of Satan, about the origin of evil. However, there are a few passages in the Old Testament that apparently speak about the origin of such an evil. This is presented in the books of Isaiah and Ezekiel. Directly speaking, it is not concerning the Satan, concerning devil, or concerning evil as such that the prophets are speaking. But in their prophecy, in their description of some earthly rulers, we see something beyond, something more than a human being. For example, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, a lament over Babylon, Babylon that is fallen. We see something of a power of evil in this description. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I'll ascend to heaven. I'll raise my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit on the mount of assembly, on the heights of Saphon. I'll ascend to the tops of the clouds. I'll make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the depths of pit. Here, the description of the king of Babylon is very startling. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. The day star, while translated into Latin, the so-called Vulgate, translation prepared by Saint Jerome, we have the word Lucifer. Instead of day star, Saint Jerome translated it into Lucifer. Lucifer means the one who carries light, as Christopher means the one who carries Christ. So this particular person is called Lucifer. And later on in the church tradition, Lucifer came to be known as the name of Satan, evil par excellence, evil by itself. So the origin of Satan somehow comes from pride of an individual who was a superhuman creature, a creature that was somehow in the presence of God. But pride overcame this particular individual spirit, and this spirit became evil. I will make myself like the Most High, that is his thought. And this is the temptation the first parents also given. Eat this fruit and you'll be like God. So to be like God, the temptation that somehow arose in the heart of the archangel Lucifer made him evil. That is the interpretation the fathers give. That's the interpretation that many of the apocryphal writings of the turn of the millennia or turn of the epochs, the last part of the Old Testament and the new beginnings of the New Testament, we have this interpretation that Lucifer as well as Satan and all the devils were angels who rebelled against God and were made powers of evil. The same you can see also in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 12 to 15. There the prophet is speaking about the Tyre. You were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. And he continues, you were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. A creature in perfect, but there came iniquity. And this seems to be how the Bible understands the origin of Satan, origin of evil. Satan is called also devil, diabolos. And to that we turn in our next reflection. So in the next reflection, we'll be thinking about the role of Satan in Jesus' teaching, the New Testament, as well as in our daily life. Now let us close this with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to call you Father. We know that you are our dear dad, who cares for us, who protects us, who defends us. You know we are tempted. You know we are weak and fragile. Allow us not to be tempted beyond our power, our limits. Deliver us from evil.